إن الحمد لله نحمده نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد أرحب بكم جميعا في درس الليلة في حصة السيرة. I welcome all of you once again, and as Wednesday nights we have the سيرة. ولله الحمد أتممنا كتاب مختصر سيرة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لفضيلة الشيخ الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله. والحمد لله we have finished reading the book of our beloved Shaykh, our Shaykh al-Imam al-Mujaddid Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, the abridged seerah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اليوم سنتكلم عن سيرة أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه. Today or tonight we're gonna talk about the seerah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. Wasmuhu ala as-sahih Abdullah ibn Uthman. Ismuhu ala as-sahih Abdullah ibn Uthman ibn Amir ibn Amr. Abdullah ibn Uthman ibn Amir ibn Amr ibn Ka'b ibn Sa'd ibn Taym ibn Murrah ابن كعب ابن لؤي القرشي التيمي. That's his name. His name, عبد الله ابن عثمان. كنيته أبو بكر. That's his kunya. His kunya is أبو بكر. لقبه عتيق والصديق. He has a nickname which is عتيق and الصديق. قيل لقب بعتيق لأنه كان جميلا لعتاقة وجهه وكذلك لأنه قديم في الخير. They said that he was called عتيق because he was handsome. He was a handsome man, أبو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه. His face was beautiful and he was a handsome man radiyallahu anhu. And also atiq, also this term in Arabic, this word means ancient, old, because he is one of the first people to do good. So he was one of the foremost to act upon all good. Waqila, also it was said, كانت أم أبي بكر لا يعيش لها ولد. Also it was said that the mother of Abu Bakr, her children do not survive, they die. فلما ولدته استقبلت به البيت. So when she gave birth to Abu Bakr, she faced the Kaaba, the house of Allah, and she said, اللهم إن هذا عتيقك من الموت فهبه لي. She says, "Oh Allah, free my son from death, or protect him from dying, save him from dying, and grant him to me." وَقِيلَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. And he was said other than this, as related to this word "عتيق." وَلُقِّبَ بِالصِّدِّيقِ. Also, he was called As-Siddiq. لأنه صدق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He was called As-Siddiq because he accepted what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came with to be true. He accepted the truth, so he was truthful. Truthful because he accepted as true the truth what the Prophet ﷺ came with. As you know, people has denied the Prophet ﷺ for months, then Allah guided him to Islam, others for years, but him, he believed in the Prophet ﷺ from the first time. كما في صبيحة الإسراء وقد قيل له إن صاحبك يعني محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم إن صاحبك يزعم أنه أسري به فقال إن كان قال فقد صدق. In the event of al-Isra, which is in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that the Prophet ﷺ ascended to the heavens, Jibreel came to him with al-Buraq, that animal, and took him on a journey, the night journey, when he went first from Mecca to Jerusalem to Al-Quds, and then he ascended with him to the heavens. And he came back in the same night. In the morning, he informed the people with that, but they belied him. They thought he was crazy. How could a man at that time do all this in one night? Because them, they use their intellect. They just use what they know. Because for someone at that time to go from Mecca to Jerusalem, take them weeks, if not months, of travel, because the fastest actually means of transportation at that time was the horse and or the camel, and many people cannot afford that, so they have to travel on foot, and it takes them a significant time to go there and come back. It was no planes, no jets, no cars, no buses, no trains, no submarines, neither. And the Prophet ﷺ told them not only that he went to Jerusalem and came back, actually he ascended to the heavens and came back. So now the people, they when they saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he didn't know yet, they said to him, you know what your companion now saying? In a way of mockery, you know, mocking and belying and denying the Isra. They say, you know what your companion now are saying? He said that he went to Jerusalem, ascended to the heavens, and came back in one night. So, of course, then they were waiting for Abu Bakr to say, no, that's impossible. You see? That's what they were waiting for. For him to say, that's impossible. How could a person really do this in one night? But Abu Bakr is a Siddiq. He said to them, if he said it, he's spoken the truth. Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah. He knows he's a prophet. He does not speak out of his desires. If he said it, he said, that's his answer to them. When they told him, look, your companion claimed this and this and that. He said to them, if he said it, it's true, it's the truth. إِنْ كَانَ قَالَ فَقَدْ صَدَقْ. وَقَالَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَقَدْ سَمَّاهُ اللَّهُ صِدِّيقًا قَالَ تَعَالَى وَالَّذِي جَاءَ بِالصِّدْقِ وَصَدَّقَ بِهِ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ وَصَدَّقَ بِهِ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. جاء في تفسيرها الذي جاء بالصدق هو النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والذي صدق به هو أبو بكر رضي الله عنه. Allah says, and the one who brought the truth and the one who believed in it, such are the pious. In the tafsir of this ayah, the one who brought the truth is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the one who believed in that truth is Abu Bakr الصديق رضي الله عنه. كذلك قيل ولقب بالصديق لأنه أول من صدق وآمن بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من الرجال. Also he was given and called as Siddiq because he is the first one to believe the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم amongst men. He is the first man to believe in the message of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم وسمه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصديق. Also the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم called him الصديق, named him الصديق. That's why we say Abu Bakr الصديق. فقد روى البخاري رحمه الله عن أنس رضي بن مالك رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صعد أحدا وأبو بكر وعمر وعثمان فرجف بهم أي الجبل فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم أثبت أحد فإنما عليك نبي وصديق وشهيدان. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى collected this hadith on the authority of Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم climbed the Mount of Uhud. And Abu Bakr, Umar al-Uthman رضي الله عنهم were with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم on the mountain of Uhud. Uhud shook and trembled. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, be firm, Uhud. Be stable, Uhud, for indeed upon you is a prophet, a siddiq, and two martyrs. The prophet is the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The siddiq is Abu Bakr, because the two martyrs are Umar and Uthman radiyallahu anhum. And by the way, Uhud is a beautiful mountain that he loves us and we love him. As in the hadith, Jabal, Uhud yuhibbuna wa nuhibbuhu. He loves us and we love this Mount of Uhud. The Mount of Uhud is in the north of Medina. North borders of Medina, the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if you visit Medina, whether you go for Umrah or Hajj, and keep in mind that visiting the city of the Prophet ﷺ in Medina has nothing to do with Hajj or Umrah. You can go make Umrah and make Hajj, and you don't have to go to Medina. But if you go to Medina to visit the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to pray there, because the prayer is better 1,000 times a prayer in the Prophet's masjid sallallahu alaihi wasallam is better 1,000 times anywhere except in the Masjid al-Haram, because in the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca is better 100,000 times. 100,000. Look at the virtue and the bounties of Allah upon His servants. You perform one prayer in Mecca, in the Masjid al-Haram, it's better than 100,000 salat elsewhere. وَهَدِهِ نِعْمَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ. So, you should be making some savings. People save for another car. People save to go to Italy, because somebody told them, look man, Italy is beautiful. And yes, they save money and go spend 1,000 on that trip. And it doesn't occur in their mind to go and spend their vacation in Mecca and Medina, in which they will benefit greatly by making Umrah and by praying in the Masjid al-Haram and by visiting the scholars and the like. وَكَانَ أَبُو بَكْرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ يسمى الأواه لرأفته. Likewise, it is said that he was called الأواه because he was very kind, gentle and nice, lean, lenient and gentle. وأما مولده, as for his birth, ولد بعد عام الفيل بسنتين وستة أشهر. ولد بعد عام الفيل بسنتين وستة أشهر. He was born after the year that is called the year of the elephant. He was born after that incident and that event 2 years and 6 months after that event. As you know, عام الفيل, because in the history we know that this tyrant person, King Abraha, he came from Yemen, the area of Yemen, in a huge army, and has elephants, and to destroy, he has the intention to destroy the Kaaba. But Allah has destroyed that man and his army. So, that year, it is called the year of the elephant, of the fil, because al-fil is the elephant. And we have a surah, al-ilaf Quraysh, or the other surah, alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabi al-fil. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabi al-fil. So that year when this event took place, it was called Amul Fil, the year of the elephant. Because that king, that tyrant king, brought an elephant, a huge elephant, but that elephant stopped when he got close, could not move forward. Alhamdulillah. And Allah has destroyed that army and has protected his house. Sifatuhu. Now, a description of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, since he mentioned, كان Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu أبيض نحيفا. أبيض نحيفا خفيف العارضين معروق الوجه ناتئ الجبهة. كان أبو بكر رضي الله عنه أبيض نحيفا خفيف العارضين معروق الوجه ناتئ الجبهة وكان يخطب بالحناء والكتم وكان رجلا أسيفا أي رقيق القلب رحيما. As related to the physical descriptions of this great companion رضي الله عنه, as it is taken from the book سير أعلام النبلاء of الإمام الذهبي رحمه الله, it says, and may Allah reward the one who translated this part, these are some physical descriptions of this great companion taken from سير أعلام النبلاء وفى الإمام الذهبي. أبو بكر رضي الله عنه, he was white skinned, his skin was white, he was skinny with thin cheeks, he had a wrinkly face. So once again, he was white-skinned, skinny, with thin cheeks. He had a wrinkly face, deep-set eyes. He has a deep-set eyes, a protruding forehead, and he would dye his beard with henna, and oil it. In Sir Alam al-Nubala, he mentioned also that he was white or yellow skin, handsome. He was handsome, radiallahu anhu, with thin legs. His izar would not stay firmly tied around his waist. Imam Suyuti relates through Ibn Sa'd's report from Aisha radiallahu anha, her description of Abu Bakr. Aisha, she said, that's his daughter, that was her father, she said, he was a man with fair skin, thin, emaciated with a sparse beard, a slightly hunched frame, sunken eyes and protruding forehead, and the bases of his fingers were hairless. He was the foremost of all those people who know about genealogy, like the Arabs, the lineage and the like. وكان رجلا أسيفا أي رقيق القلب رحيما. He was a very kind person. He has a merciful heart. He was very kind and gentle and lenient, soft, merciful heart. أما فضائله, as for his virtues, ما حاز الفضائل رجل كما حازها أبو بكر رضي الله عنه. No one from the men has reached these virtues as Abu Bakr did رضي الله عنه. Of course, when we say men, not include the prophets and the messengers عليهم الصلاة والسلام. They are the best of the creation. But no man other than them has reached the level in virtue that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has reached. فهو أفضل هذه الأمة بعد نبيها صلى الله عليه وسلم. One of the virtues is that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu is the best of this Ummah after its Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu هو أفضل هذه الأمة, is the best of this Ummah. Yet you find الروافد لعنة الله عليهم وعليهم من الله ما يستحقون. They say he's a kafir. And they call him all names, والعياذ بالله. قاتلهم الله. الباطنيون من ألذ أعداء الله. هم أعداء الإسلام والمسلمين الروافد الخبثاء الباطنيون. They are enemies to Islam and to the Muslims. How could they abuse the best of this Ummah? The man who has so many virtues. The man whom Allah is pleased with. يا سبحان الله. قال ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما. ابن عمر عبد الله the son of عمر رضي الله عنهما said كنا نخير بين الناس في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فنخير أبا بكر ثم عمر الخطاب ثم عثمان بن عفان رضي الله عنهم. رواه البخاري. عبد الله ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما he says in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive, and this information reached him, he was aware of what they say. He says, we used to say that the best of this Ummah is Abu Bakr, then Umar ibn al-Khattab, then Uthman radiallahu anhu. He said, we used to say, they used to sit down, they say, who's the best after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He says, we used to say, they have agreement, that the best man in this Ummah after the Prophet ﷺ is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Who comes after that? Then Umar ibn al-Khattab, then Uthman. Ayna. وروى البخاري also الإمام البخاري collected this hadith عن أبي الدرداء رضي الله عنه قال on the authority of أبي الدرداء رضي الله عنه who said كنت جالسا عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ أقبل أبو بكر آخذا بطرف ثوبه حتى أبدى عن ركبته فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أما صاحبكم فقد غامر. أبو الدرداء رضي الله عنه he said I was sitting with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when Abu Bakr al-Siddiq came in holding the ends of his thawb until his knees were exposed. قال أبو بكر إني كان بيني وبين أبو الخطاب شيء فأسرعت إليه ثم ندمت فسألته أن يغفر لي فأبى علي فأقبلت إليك. Then Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم something took place between me and Ibn al-Khattab, meaning Umar رضي الله عنه. Said, I said something to him and I regret saying that. So I asked him to forgive me. But Umar refused. I asked him to pardon me and to forgive me for that. But he refused. That's why I came to you, to inform you about this. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يغفر الله لك يا أبو بكر ثلاثا. But the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to Abu Bakr, Allah forgive you, O Abu Bakr, three times. said, Allah forgive you three times. Allah will forgive you. And he mentioned that three times. ثم إن عمر ندم فأتى منزل أبي بكر فسأل أثم أبو بكر فقالوا لا. But then Umar, he regret not accepting the apologies of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So therefore he went to his house. He went to his house and we learned a lot, ya akhwan, from the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim. Umar, he regretted not accepting the apology or what Abu Bakr has offered. And then he went looking for him until he went to his house. And he asked, is Abu Bakr here? They say no. فأتى إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فجعل وجه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتمعر حتى أشفق أبو بكر فجثى على ركبتيه فقال يا رسول الله والله أنا كنت أظلم مرة قال هذا مرتين. So when Umar didn't find Abu Bakr in his house, he went to the Prophet ﷺ as well. And of course Abu Bakr was sitting there. But Abu Bakr radiallahu Abu Darda, who's narrating this incident, he said that when Umar came in, the Prophet ﷺ face started changing. And this shows that the Prophet ﷺ was angry. So much so that Abu Bakr feel bad for Umar. And he sat on his knees and said, Ya Rasulallah, Wallahi ana kuntu azlam marratain. Abu Bakr feel bad for Umar because the Prophet ﷺ was very angry, mad. Since Umar's behavior towards Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhuma. And Abu Bakr said, O Messenger of Allah, by Allah, I wronged him first. And he said that twice. Abu Bakr said that to the Prophet ﷺ. He said, I wronged him. I'm the one who wronged him first. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, إن الله بعثني إليكم فقلتم كذبت وقال أبو بكر صدق. سبحان الله. Prophet ﷺ, then he addressed Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, indeed,
Allah sent me to you. And you said, you're a liar. You lied. But he, meaning Abu Bakr, said, you've spoken the truth. وَوَسَانِي بِنَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ. He says, he helped me and supported me with himself and with his wealth. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ تَارِكُوا لِي صَاحِبِي مَرَّتَيْنِ فَمَا أُوذِيَ بَعْدَهَا. Then he says, would you really leave my companion for me? Meaning, do not harm him. Do not harm my companion. He said that twice. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu says, from that day, nobody ever has wronged or offended Abu Bakr in any way. So we learn a lot, ya ikhwan, from this, that because we follow the way of the Salaf, and the way of the Salaf is the way of the companions, ridwanullahi alayhim. And we take from what took place between them lessons. We draw lessons. We take benefits. We highlight these benefits and these lessons so that we can act upon them in our lives, in the way we deal with one another. And we learn that we have to respect those amongst us who have some virtues amongst us, people who have knowledge. We have respect for them. We respect our noble scholars, our ulama, because of the position that Allah has put them in. We make dua for them, we love them, we respect them. We apply their advices. Likewise, we respect their students. We respect the people who are teaching us, the people who are putting much time, efforts for our communities. We show them respect. And if any one of us wronged the other, we apologize. And if it just happened that at that moment you were not ready to accept the apology, because you're still miffed, you're still mad, then later on, you should be looking for the person who came and to apologize, and you denied him, and you didn't. You should go and look for the person and tell him, well, forgive me, earlier I was still mad, I was still angry with you, but now, alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair for. So this is, we follow the way of the Salaf. This was going to preserve the brotherhood. This is what's pleasing to Allah. Of course, as a human, we get mad, we get angry, things happen. We're not perfect. But at that moment, you're angry, but come on, 3 years later, you're still angry? Yes, subhanAllah. People do this. No. You're angry, you went change the space, the place. MashaAllah, the next hour, next you see your brother in the salat, you talk to him and tell him, MashaAllah, please forgive me. Earlier I said this and that, MashaAllah. Or if that person come to apologize, wallahi, somehow we should be happy when somebody come to apologize. Actually, we should be very happy when someone, it takes a lot for someone to come to me or to you and say, you know what, earlier I was wrong. You're right, I was wrong. Please forgive me. And we should be happy and say, MashaAllah, Jazakallah, khair. But just in case, if it didn't happen that way, and we're angry still, but then the next prayer, you come to the person and say, Jazakallah, khair for coming and apologizing. That's good etiquette. That's a good manners. You taught me something today. فقد سبق أبو بكر رضي الله عنه إلى الإيمان وصحب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم واستمر معه في مكة طول إقامته رغم ما تعرض له من الأذى ورافقه في الهجرة. نعم. He is one of the first people to accept faith and to believe in the message of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. سبق إلى الإيمان. He was the companion of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Not only he believed in him, but he remained with him. And he was his companion. And he accepted everything the Prophet said to be true, to be the truth. No doubt whatsoever, no hesitation. And he remained with him in Mecca. All the years that the Prophet ﷺ remained in Mecca, 13 years. And those 13 years, they were not an easy years. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he endured a lot of hardship. Along with the Prophet ﷺ himself and the companions, his family. And Abu Bakr always was with a companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the Siddiq. He was truthful in his iman, in his belief. And that's another lesson we take, that we have to be truthful in our iman. You have to be sadiq. Not like when things are going your way, mashallah, money is coming in, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. But when Allah tests one of us, we are, I don't know, why me, why not? No. You have to be truthful. You may be broke for months, and you're like, alhamdulillah, Allah still pray to Hajjud, still come to the masjid, still be nice and read Quran, still try to give sadaqah, even if you have nothing. It's in you, it's in your heart, not just in your pocket. No, these are qualities of the Muslim, the true believer. Not just when things are going your way, ah, oh, mashallah, alhamdulillah. No. You say, look, I'm a servant of Allah. Regardless, I'm going to try to do my best. If I am put to trial, going through some hardship, if I'm tested in my wealth, in my health, in my children, doesn't matter. I'm a servant of Allah. I'm going to do the best I can to fulfill my obligations. I'm going to be the best servant to the best of my abilities. I'm going to try all means, all lawful means. He was with the Prophet ﷺ, his companion. Even in a time of hardship and difficulty. It's not like in times of ease we hang together. When somebody is going through hardship, we leave him alone. This is friendship. What companionship is this? When a person have money and has a car and nice, now you got to find like 10, 15 friends and companions. Everybody say, now that's my companion, that's my man, that's my brother, that's how we go a long way. And when he's tested, he's alone? No. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu remained with the Prophet ﷺ. Times of ease and times of difficulty as well. And those 13 years, they were very, very hard years. The Prophet ﷺ endured with patience. Likewise, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq never gave up radiallahu anhu. تعرض من الأذى. Now he subjected himself to the harm. He could say, look, man, it's okay, people, they want you, not me. So, he was with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's a Siddiq. وَرَافَقَهُ فِي الْهِجْرَةِ. And he was the one who accompanied the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Hijra. وَهُوَ ثَانِ اثْنَيْنِ فِي الْغَارِ مَعَ نَبِيِّ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ مَعَ نَبِيِّ اللَّهِ. And he was one of the two in the cave. Him and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were in the cave. قال سبحانه وتعالى ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا. He's one of the two who was in the cave, him and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he said to his companion, grieve not, Allah is with us. By his knowledge, of course. When Allah sees where we at and what's going on, Allah knows about our condition, Allah will protect us. السهيلي one of the ulama says, ألا ترى كيف قال لا تحزن ولم يقل لا تخف. See, here Allah, he said to him, don't worry, Allah is with us, don't worry, لا تحزن, don't worry, Allah is with us. He didn't say to him, don't be afraid. He said to him, don't worry. And he did not say to him, don't be afraid. Why? Because him worrying about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam make him to forget to be afraid in that case. He's not afraid because people, they're afraid for themselves. Oh man, something's going to happen to me. What's going to happen to us? You see? Right or wrong? Now imagine two people somewhere and then they were ambushed and you find one is all panicking, what's going to happen to me, to us? He's afraid. Now Abu Bakr Siddiq, he was worried about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was worried what's going to happen to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he was not even afraid to what's going to happen to him. Radiallahu anhu. Aina. So this is a very beautiful benefit. That usually at that moment, a person is afraid for his life. But Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he was worried about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What may happen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He forgot about himself. He was, because he was worried about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why he said to him, "Do not worry." And he didn't say to him, "La takhaf," don't be afraid. وفي الصحيحين من حديث أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه أن أبا بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه حدثه قال نظرت إلى أقدام المشركين على رؤوسنا ونحن في الغار فقلت يا رسول الله لو أن أحدهم نظر إلى قدميه أبصرنا تحت قدميه. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أبا بكر ما ظنك باثنين الله ثالثهما. And also in this narration that is collected by Imam al-Bukhari or Imam Muslim, it's agreed upon on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu informed him. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said this to Anas radiallahu anhu. He said to him, when they were in a cave, him and the Prophet sallallahu, he says, I saw the feet of the polytheists while they stand in. And right there above our heads. And I said, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if one of them was to look at his feet, he will see us. Subhanallah. Said, if someone was to look at his feet, because their feet, he said, they were right by our heads. If any one of them were to look at his feet, he will certainly see us. He will see us. But the Prophet ﷺ said to him, O Abu Bakr, what do you think about two, Allah is your third? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with them with his knowledge. That's how you understand this. This doesn't mean that Allah is there with them. They two and Allah is the third. No, meaning that the protection of Allah is for them. If Allah is protecting you, doesn't matter, even if the people on earth, they gather all together, they will not harm you with anything. As it occurs in the other hadith, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّ لَوْ اجْتَمَعْتِ. In the other hadith, that is in the Arba'in al-Nawawiyyah, If and know that if the entire ummah, all the people, they gather together to harm you with anything, they'll never be able to harm you with anything unless if it's decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why sometimes people try to do things, it's not gonna happen because Allah didn't will it to happen. And the opposite also, if everybody gathered together, put their hands together to help you with something and benefit you, they will never be able to do so unless if Allah wants that for you. ولما أراد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يدخل الغار دخل قبله أبو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه ينظر في الغار لئلا يصيب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شيء. And when they were walking together, and when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was about to enter the cave, Abu Bakr entered first to check if anything over there that may harm the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would harm Abu Bakr. He will deal with that first. Radiallahu anhu, so that the Prophet will not be afflicted with any harm. ولما سار في طريق الهجرة كان يمشي حينا أمام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وحينا خلفه وحينا عن يمينه وحينا عن شماله. SubhanAllah. And he was so concerned for the safety and the well-being of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that when they were walking on a path and on their hijrah, when they were going towards Medina, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, sometimes he walk in front of the Prophet, sometimes behind him, sometimes to his right, sometimes to his left. All of this a way to protect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We're gonna stop here tonight and we're gonna continue, insha'Allah ta'ala, the seerah of this noble companion, the best of this ummah after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first khalifa after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. We'll continue next Wednesday bihawli Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. جزاكم الله خيرا على حسن انتباهكم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.